Welcome to Sports and a Slice of Life. And now, here's your host, Dave Lewis.
Randy Bennett, St. Mary's Gale, is at 23-6, a net ranking of 32. I didn't have to tell you that. I know that you check every day, right? Is it multiple times a day?
No, once is enough. They don't. It doesn't change during the day.
First thing in the morning, then.
A lot of times I stay up late enough to see it turn over.
Hey, when you're watching that Gonzaga BYU game the other night, I was wondering, like, are you rooting for Gonzaga because you'd still be in the mix for the two, or maybe BYU because it elevates your win over BYU, improves your body of work?
I'm rooting for St. Mary's.
Yeah. So you can just watch that game impassionately.
I really don't care.
Okay.
I don't really care.
Hey, you had that great win then over San Diego on senior day. Is that game hard to coach with all the emotions? I've seen home teams lose that game where guys don't play their best.
I think they're tricky. So we've lost that game before. We lost it when Deli was a junior. Yeah. Deli was a junior, so I think Holt was a senior, and Bo Levesque, and Kyle Rowley, those guys. If you can't get those emotions funneled the right way, then it can screw you up, especially early. Usually you settle down, but it's tricky. I mean, you see Jordan Ford and Tanner Krebs and the other seniors, which are Dan Sheets and Aaron Menzies, but the guys that have been there 4 and 5 years, I mean, you just appreciate what they've done for you and your program and how good, and those guys are great, great young men. So it's kind of tough. It's tough to, they get emotional, and their parents do, and their families do, and you see how special it is to them. And then, so they're those deals are tricky, but our guys are ready. I try and coach them up on being ready for it, because I know it's coming, and they can't know because they haven't done it before.
Is it emotional for you at all?
Yeah, a little bit when I see them get emotional.
Yeah, because Jordan admitted that he was kind of tearing up a little bit out there at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, you see your family tearing up, and you see some of your, you know, I think Ford had his workout guy for all of his life out there. It's just, you know, that's pretty cool. You just don't know where that's coming as a kid. You don't know, hey, all these people are going to come see this game because just out of respect to me, you know. And you don't know that's going to happen, and you see it happen, and you're so appreciative. And I think that's what gets you.
Was the game being close to the half, do you think, a byproduct of that, all the emotions and taking a while to settle in? And what was the message at halftime?
I needed to guard better, but we're doing all right.
That simple.
We're doing all right. And so that was my message. Hey, we're all right. We got to guard better, and we'll play better. And we did.
Pretty simple message, but I certainly got the word done with the way you crushed them in the second half, shooting 60-something percent.
Yep. No, we got it going offensively. Malik really got it going. So it was I thought we were all right. I thought we were going to be all right. I knew San Diego had been playing very well. They have good players, so I thought the last thing I thought would happen was we were going to separate like that. So I thought the first half was indicative of the matchup. I thought both teams were good, and they'd been playing well, and I thought they were going to be a tough game for us, and they were.
Yeah, when I peek ahead at the upcoming conference tournament, I see that, you know, they'll be somewhere in that 7-10 game. They're going to be a tough out in that first round. The way they played, they nearly beat Pepperdine, had BYU on the ropes.
No doubt. So are those others. So is seven. Whoever seven is going to be tough.
Yeah, and that Santa Clara maybe drop into that seven.
There's no easy ones. I've already scoped that thing out, and I don't know who will be playing, but it's going to be a tough game.
I would think that in the conference, that may be the biggest difference than in previous years. That middle seems to be so much stronger than in previous years, where you don't have the ability to just automatically pin in a win like you might in the past.
No, it's like a 50-50 game if you're in that whatever game you're in. The teams are, the depth of the conference is the best it's been. And our league was really good last year. We were eighth in the country last year, and we're up there this year. And, I mean, if you really start boiling and breaking it down, what that means you got the Power Fives, Big East, us, the American, A-10, Mountain West. Those are those teams. Those are good leagues. I mean, there's some great basketball jobs in that American division. We're right there with them, and to move up any further, I mean, you're going into the leagues that are very, very highly resourced and funded, and so. But that's where we want to be. We want to be up there in the top seven or eight leagues, and that's where we're at. And I think that. Just look at the conference and who returns what on their roster. League's going to be up again next year.
Yeah, LMU is certainly much stronger with their guys coming back. It's a team that struggled this year, but they've got basically three starters out.
And they don't lose much, and San Diego doesn't lose hardly. They hardly lose anything. They lose one kid. I don't think Portland loses much. So some of those teams that are a little down there, like in particular – Loyola and San Diego, they're sitting on good teams next year. So, and there's, at the top, the teams are going to be good too.
Randy, I had to ask you that my favorite moment of that San Diego game was in the last minute. And Dan Sheets, I don't recall anyone that scored three baskets in his college career getting as much love as that guy. It was an amazing thing to watch. Did you design that play from that little flex cut off the baseline into the jump hook, or was that you?
No, Marcus Schroeder called it. He called the play. I was thinking about subbing out Sheets. What was I gonna do? I was thinking about subbing it out so I could get him a curtain call. And I whispered over Schroeder. I said, "Should I get Sheets out and get him a curtain call?" He says, "Coach, we got twirl four called for him." And I was like, "All right, let's see this." And twirl four was for him, and so we ran it. And it was so Schroeder gets all the credit, and Sheets gets all the credit for making it. It's a great little move.
Oh yeah,
good shot. A lot of pressure.
Two legs to dribble. Gives to Sheets on the right side, guarded by Rodriguez. Dribbles right. Gives to Zorix, now top of the key, Perry. Inside it comes to Sheets. Back to the basket on Rodriguez, turns the right-hand hook, and he got it! And University Credit Union Pavilion explodes! Dan Sheets on senior night.
Because he was obviously...
he's only going to get one. That was the last possession we were going to have.
And he took one about a minute before that, right, from the right baseline, and he obviously was trying to score.
Yeah, we didn't call that one so much. I think our players did and got him the ball, but it was seriously you couldn't draw up a better last home game scenario for him. He's been such a great story, great kid, great leadership. Didn't get a lot of minutes, but as committed as anybody on our team to working hard and us being good, and so. It was cool. The fans were cheering for him.
Awesome.
Yelling, Sheets. I couldn't fight him off any longer. I said, let me let this guy loose. And then he hits the shot. It was just incredible. It's one of my favorite moments at St. Mary's.
Really? And you've had a lot of them.
We've had some unbelievable ones, but I'll never forget that one. Most of it because he's special. He's really a great kid, but he means a lot to us. And just to see you guys, it's just nice to see something that cool happen to someone in your program on your team. So hopefully we didn't celebrate too much and act like we were rubbing it in. We weren't rubbing it in. We were just pumped for him.
The reaction of the teammates was just classic. You could tell how much love it was.
It was unbelievable. We put a poster in our locker room yesterday of it.
did you hear him on the post-game interview? Hear the tape of that?
I did not.
Oh,
I did not.
He mentioned that he actually toyed with the idea of transferring to become a graduate student somewhere, you know, so he can maybe play. And then his parents, you know, helped put him straight, and that he's never regretted coming back. It's the best thing he ever did was to come back to St. Mary's and be a part of this. It was beautiful.
It's never been a thing, like, when I got here, whether I was going to be, you know, in the rotation, not in the rotation, it shouldn't affect, like, the way you can work. Because if you're not, you know, super – maybe you're not getting minutes, maybe you are, like, your work ethic shouldn't change. And that's just kind of been my attitude going into the whole thing. You know, if you come here and, you know, however it may go, you know, there's always guys struggling with it. Whether you're in that rotation or not, your work ethic and your attitude – it's got to be constant the whole time. And if you get going down that kind of dark path, starting to feel sorry for yourself and, you know, like, this isn't fair, blah, 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 like, it can have a negative effect on you and your team. So it's really, there's only one way to handle it. And if you want to last, there's one way to handle it.
It is a beautiful story. He came in my office and told me he's thinking about putting his name in the portal. How do you do it? I think I might want to try and go play in a smaller school and play more. I was like, you can't be leaving us. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But I said, whatever was best for you, that's what you want to do. And he came in, but the next day he said, Coach, I thought it over. I can't leave here.
No, he's definitely a favorite around campus with the fans and the team. It's awesome.
It is awesome. It was cool for the students to – he's their favorite, but on that last senior night, they really voiced their opinion. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's cool that you were able to separate so you could do that. Just a lot of things had to happen the right way for it to all happen, and it did, so it's cool.
Do you think about that going into a game like that for senior day? I mean, I know you just want to win, but – you know, hey, can I get Sheets in the game? I'm going to start Aaron.
Not at all.
Yeah, you're just trying to win, right?
Yeah, I was hoping we could play well enough to win because, like I said, San Diego had been playing well, and it was a tough game. So our guys knew that, and they were ready to play, and that's why we were able to separate. We were able to separate because Malik hit 5 threes in a row, let's be honest.
For sure. Number 2 in three-point shooting in the country. Hey, one last Sheets note. Marcus Schroeder mentioned on the post game that there's a bunch of different kinds of leaders. And he actually almost pretty much quoted the book of Matthew, being a servant leader, that's the kind of guy Sheets is. He's a guy that leads because he serves. I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah, very, very unselfish. Very unselfish. Cares. He totally gets it. Like, he's just trying to find ways to help make his team better. And he knows it's not going to be on the court in games. So how else can he help us win? And he does it in practice. He does it by his leadership. He does it by making us a tighter team. So that's why everybody's so excited for him, because they know how unselfish he is, how good a person he is, how much this team matters to him, how much he's done for the other guys to help them have success. So there's just very, very few guys that can do what he's done. Not play, be the hardest one of the hardest workers on the team, and be a great teammate and do it for 5 years.
Coaches are always going through the film, looking at ways to improve and, you know, carve things up to get a little bit better. What about your team now? As you wind it down, 2 regular season games left, what kind of things do you feel like you need to clean up as you head into the postseason?
The 2 things we have to be better at. I mean, you're not going to change a lot now. You want to be playing with confidence. You want to be fresh. Those are the things that I've found over the years. It's not adding a play. It's not adding an OB play. It's not adding a press. It's not that. You make sure they're fresh and make sure they're confident. And, fire fresh, going to those games, fresh. So the areas that if we could improve 1% in the next 10 days before the conference tournament, if we can tighten up our defense, our field goal percentage defense, and if we tighten up our rebounding in particular, a better effort going to the offensive boards.
That's definitely a coaching thing too, right? 1% better every day, and that'll get you
there.
You're
not going to totally change. You got the same players. You've been practicing for 4 months. You played 31 games. By the time you get the conference tournament, there's not going to be massive changes. So just try and get a little better, and a little better will go a long ways at this time of year.
With two left, so many focus on that Saturday game, right? Everyone knows about St. Mary's and Gonzaga, but you got a big one coming up against Santa Clara. Do you feel like the fact that they've beaten you already in Moraga will prevent any kind of looking ahead to Saturday?
We're not looking ahead.
I know you're not, but the world does.
No, our players aren't. Nobody is. I mean, our guys know what's coming. They beat us at our place. They're a good team. They've had a good year. They played some tough teams. They've had a tough schedule lately, but hey, we know that's a tough game. So I don't think there's a guy in our program that's thought anything past Thursday.
They had a great 1-point win in Moraga. What did you see from that film, and what type of things do you need to maybe tighten up a little bit as you head to the rematch?
Yeah, defensively, we have to do a better job than we did last time. They hurt us inside. Brankage hurt us. They hurt us there. I thought that's where they won the game. They have good players. They have good personnel. They're deep and have good guards and good experience. Almost all of them played together last year. But so it's we're gonna have to play well.
As you head to the conference tournament, one of your former bosses, Hank Egan's, going to the WCC Wall of Honor, the Hall of Honor. What do you remember about your time with him, and what did you get from him that maybe you stole or applied to your own coaching?
Oh, geez. That's my guy right there. That's guy kind of raised me on college basketball. And I worked for him for 7 years. First time I went and volunteered for him when I was after I'd finished playing college, but I still had one more year. I was at UC San Diego, so I went over there, and he gave me the opportunity to work for him as a volunteer assistant, kind of like a grad assistant my first year. And then I went to Idaho for two as a grad assistant for Tim Floyd, and then I came back and worked the next six for Hank. And so he kind of taught me what college basketball is all about, how to run a program. And he's a special guy. He's a special guy. And I learned a lot about what you should stand for, and more than basketball. He was bigger than basketball. His integrity was incredible. His loyalty was incredible. He wouldn't take shortcuts. No, he's great. He's great. And so, what I think my basketball philosophy is, I mean, I took probably more from him than anyone. Yeah, so he's special. He's like family. He is family to me. And he lives in Colorado now, so I don't get to see him or talk to him that much, but whenever we can in the summer, if we're both in San Diego or something, we'll catch up, and it's like yesterday. So he and his wife Judy, they were really big to myself and Kyle Smith and Mike Hopp. We were all working there back then, and so yeah, special times. He's a special guy. He's like I said, he's almost like a second father to me.
You going to be there for that ceremony?
You know, I would never go to that ceremony, but because he's getting inducted, I'll be at that ceremony. I don't know when it is. I know it's – what day is it?
I think it's the Friday of the tournament.
Yeah, I'll adjust my flight so I get over there.
Okay, awesome. And then St. Mary's more than likely not playing any earlier than Saturday.
As long as I can make it with our team, I'll be there. I haven't looked at the schedule. I don't know when it is. It's a luncheon. I don't know if I can make it because we won't be there yet. So if I'm in Vegas, I will be there.
Fantastic. And you play with some, or work with some good ones, Romar and Of course, he played for your dad, Hall of Famer, Mesa Community College, the state title, Gilbert, Wabash, Indiana. What about things that you learned from your dad as a coach?
Things I don't, I didn't even know I learned from him, just living under the same roof, watching him, and yeah, a ton, probably, yeah, for sure, more than anyone else, because that's who raised me. So I was up till, and then I played for him. So up through 19 years, that's kind of what I was around. I've been lucky. I've been around really good coaches, and it's really helped me. My high school coach was awesome. Shoot, my freshman high school coach was good. My JV was good, and my high school coach was awesome. Like I said, he was just great, great guy. And then my dad and the colleges, the coaches I worked with and worked under. He said Romar, Tim Floyd was key. Obviously Hank, and then I worked with Brad Holland. He was good. And so I've been fortunate to be around really good coaches, my assistants especially. So I've learned a lot from those guys and continue to do so. So I've been blessed to be around the right guys, and so hopefully they've rubbed off on me a lot.
Is it true that your dad didn't think it was a good idea for you to get into coaching because the players wouldn't work as hard as you did?
I don't know about that. Our players work hard. So, no, I don't know. He didn't care if I got into coaching, I think is a fair way to say it. I think he was happy I got into coaching, and never tried to steer me a different direction. But listen, I tell my kids the same thing, that I don't know, just getting coaching, it's a tough profession, and really tough. It's tough to, I've been lucky to get to the level I'm at, and fortunately smart enough to surround myself with the right players and assistants. But it's a tough, tough racket. So yeah, if I was talking to my kids, I'd say, hey, you better think this thing through before you do it. And, I think that's kind of what he was saying.
Has either Kate or Chase expressed any interest in doing this?
I think one of them will. I think one of them is crazy enough to try. See if I can get him straight before that happens. They're just playing right now, but they both really like it. So I think when you're a coach's son and you're around it and that's all you see, it's a pretty cool way to grow up. So you think it'd be a pretty cool thing to do.
As you wind the regular season down, you're led by one of the best players you've ever had there at St. Mary's in Jordan Ford. I remember you overhearing a conversation you had with the BYU guy saying, he's just so confident. Who would you compare him to in terms of just the confidence in his game and being so self-assured?
I think he's like Patty. I just say that all the time. His game, his style of game is like Patty. His confidence is like Patty. Patty has supreme confidence. And, similar. Really similar. They're kind of scoring points, and they're not your pass-first point guards. They have a scoring mentality, and they're good enough they can do it, and that's what you want them to do. So you play them on the ball, off the ball, and to do that, to be that good a scorer, you have to have a lot of confidence, and Jordan does. It's really, you can't rattle him. He's got great composure. So he's a special one, and they're all different. Everyone's a little different. We've had some dang good ones, and they're all a little bit different game. But he's closest to Patty.
Did you see this coming when, as a freshman, he plays 5 minutes a game and scores 2 points a game and now becoming one of the all-time great Gales?
Did I think he'd be one of the all-time great Gales and one of the all-time leading scorers? Not as a freshman. But you could ask me about that, about Mickey, too. You don't see it coming when they're your ninth man as a freshman. But they, because he's so right as a worker and a kid and his self-discipline and his belief, he became that. And that's why he's special. Is between the ears, he's special.
With the big game coming up on Saturday, of course, Santa Clara first, but then I peek ahead to Gonzaga, and they, you know, worked our team over pretty good in Moraga. The fact that you guys have done that before, that you took a pretty good beating last year and were able to win when it really mattered, does that give you something to draw back on to say, you know what, maybe they were better than us that day, but it is possible for us to step up and take them in a rematch?
I don't think I have to. I think they know. They know. So, last year I might add to, but these guys don't.
Yeah, certainly a lot to look forward to. And Selection Sunday, hopefully this year won't be as stressful. At least on paper, it doesn't look like it will be in pretty good shape in terms of
the only way it won't be is if we win that conference tournament. Yeah. Trust me.
So you don't win the tournament, there's going to be stress on Sunday?
No question.
Oh, you've done enough, Coach. The resume says
stop,
yes.
Stop.
Okay.
Stop.
All right. Randy Bennett of the St. Mary's Gales. Always appreciate the time, man, and I'll see you in the gym.
You're the best. Appreciate it. I'll see you Thursday.
St. Mary's men's basketball coach, Randy Bennett. Audio courtesy of Alex Jensen and the St. Mary's IMG Sports Network. The executive producer is Hunter Lewis. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, and iHeartRadio. We appreciate your positive comments and feedback. Certainly means a lot. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.